Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and my name is Nicholas. We're going through the book of Exodus and the children of Israel, where we left off. They just went through the Red Sea, and they sang this marvelous song, and I recognize portions of the song have been incorporated into songs that are sung in the church today, but you know, I've never heard anyone sing this whole song or heard the whole thing put to music, and I'm sure if I had, they probably wouldn't use the name. They would probably be saying, "His name is the Lord." That's somewhat exasperating to hear someone say. That'd be like saying, "My name is, you know, the man." Hey, I am the man, or something ridiculous like that, or it's not my name. And it's not his name. His name is not the Lord, like I said, any more than my name is the Nicholas. So we ended up Miriam the prophetess. And the scripture says the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Yahshua. And in the King James Version it says the testimony of Jesus Christ. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. So if we had a biblical definition for what a prophet is, it's one who speaks the word and testifies. And of course we had the prophets of old, and a lot of the prophecy was not about the future, and the word prophecy has become synonymous with future telling because a lot of their prophecy was about the future. And of course it still is the testimony of Yahshua. But here we have Miriam. She's being called a prophetess now. And I never looked at the Hebrew there. It means inspired woman. That's what I get here from the Hebrew. Or it even says a prophet's wife. But it's someone who testifies. And how is she testifying? Yeah, she's testifying. Well, I'm sure that a lot of people, you know, if, just from this here, from Miriam the prophetess, I could gather that Miriam was a huge advocate of her brother Abraham while he was gone, looking forward to, because there had to be those that were prophesying in the last 40 years before Moses came, that something was going to happen, and there were people looking forward, because that's how our Heavenly Father gets His people ready. I mean, when Yahshua showed up on the scene, there were people looking for Him. There were prophets and people prophesying and building each other up in the face, saying, "It's coming, it's, you know, the time is here, the time is near." And they were looking for the Messiah when they found Yahshua. They were looking for Him. And He had the right name, and He had the right words, and He had the right works. And some of them knew Him, that He was the one. Same thing here. We had Miriam, the prophetess. Huge advocate, I'm sure, of her brother. And now, in the context here, she takes up the timbrel in her hand, and she's singing this song, and she's teaching the children of Israel to sing these songs, these words of prophecy, these words of God, which, and it was the word of God. Look, there it is. It's written down. So, and Miriam answered them, "And sing ye to Yahuwah, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea." And I'll spare you, I won't sing for you. So Moses brought the children of Israel, and we're in verse 22 of chapter 15 here. "And they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days wilderness and found no water." I mean, they went 3 days journey and found no water. 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. "And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah." Marah, that means bitterness, I'll bet you. Marah, bitter, yes. I guess that's why they gave it the name. "And so when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?'" Yeah, it doesn't take a whole lot for people to start complaining. And, well, I, you know, have to admit that it's easy to complain, isn't it? Because we have it so good. But we need to be grateful. We need to give thanks every day. For every day that our grace period is extended, we need to have gratitude. And I've heard people say, you know, "What do I have to thank God for?" Wow. God never did anything for me. You ever heard statements like that? I have. He let you live. He allowed you to be born. You should be grateful. Do you eat? Do you have clothes to wear? Do you have shelter? Every good thing comes from God. Only ignorance could say, what has God ever done for me? Only ignorance. We do need to be grateful. And yet we are so ungrateful. I need to be more thankful myself. Heavenly Father, help me to be more grateful to you. Help us all to be more grateful to you. Help us not to take for granted everything. Though you have granted it to us, we need to be thankful. We need to have a thankful heart so that we can... how else can we enjoy your grace if we're not grateful? So, anyway, they're in the wilderness. They murmured against Moses, saying, "What are we going to drink? This water's bitter. Moses, you brought us out in the wilderness to die." They died. How quickly, 3 days later, after this great event and all this partying and singing and dancing and singing this great song to Yahuwah about the mighty works that he did to bring them there. Now they've journeyed 3 days in the wilderness, and they come to bitter water. And they cried unto Yahuwah. And Yahuwah showed... Okay, the people murmured against Moses. "What are we going to drink?" He said, "All right, man. Hey, Moses. We're anxious now, man. We want to see how Yahuwah is going to provide. We know he's going to do it. How's he going to do it?" You know? That should be our attitude, right? We should be excited to see how he's going to do it this time. You know, I like these atheists and skeptics. They analyze all of the things, because every time they find something in archaeology that backs up the Bible, not only now do they have to admit that this actually had happened, that these people really existed, just like the history, his storybook says. The history book says. Now they have to explain away, sulfur came out of a mountain and, it flew through the sky and it, we don't care how he did it. Yeah. So what? That's how he did it. That doesn't mean he didn't do it. But, it comforts them to, if they can find a natural explanation. Well, yes, the Creator works through nature. He works through his creation. He can do miracles too. It's all miraculous. If I say, "Let rain, fire rain down from heaven," and it happens, that's pretty darn miraculous, just so we can say, this is how it happened. So what? The miracles say it's going to happen, and then it happens. The miracle is that he is the master of his creation. It isn't diminished by the fact that we could explain how he did it. But anyway, that's... Instead of murmuring, I hate murmuring. Any of you fathers, you mothers out there, your children murmur. You know what I mean? And it just, it angers you. You think our Heavenly Father is any different? When we murmur, do you think he felt any different? All this he did, all that I do for my children. And then they're so ungrateful. The minute they think there's a lapse in the provision for them, they murmur. See, it just goes to show you, we're not any different. Our own children aren't any different. Would we have done the same thing? Well, most likely we would have. I'm sure there were a few in Israel that were going, "Wow, man, this is exciting. Yeah, hey, the water's bitter. Okay, hey, how's he going to do it this time?" So anyway, they murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto Yahuwah, and the Lord showed him a tree which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance. And there he proved them. And he said, "If you will diligently hearken." I wonder what that means, diligently hearken. That's King James English. Nobody speaks like that. "My child, if you will diligently hearken," right? Well, what is diligence? Everyone in the so-called patriot movements, they should know what diligence means, because only diligence preserves liberty. Of course, you can see that the people have not been very diligent, have they? They've been distracted on purpose so that they would stop being diligent, so that those that are distracting them can turn them into slaves. Diligent. What does it mean? Diligent. It's an interesting word. diligent. If thou wilt diligently hearken. And let's look at to hear intelligently. Often with implication of attention, obedience. That means if you will obediently listen to me. Yeah, if you will diligently hearken. If you will diligently obey. If you intelligently listen and obey my words. That's what it means. If you will diligently hearken to the voice of Yahuwah, thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight. And we've discussed that many times. Seek ye first the kingdom of Yahuwah. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Righteousness. His righteousness means to do what's right in his sight. That's what it means. To seek first his righteousness means to do that which is right in his sight. Okay, so. And he said, this is the first of statutes and an ordinance. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance. And there he proved them. And he said, if you will diligently hearken, if you will intelligently hear my words and obey my words, if you will diligently hearken to the voice, his words, the voice of Yahuwah, thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am Yahuwah that healeth thee. What diseases? Well, drowning him in the sea? How about the boils and the fleas and the ticks and the Lyme disease and the fact that they couldn't even birth their own children? They were so unhealthy they had to have the Hebrew women come into them to assist in their births. The difference there. The diseases that they had because of the diet and the affluent lifestyle of the Hebrews. Yeah, we kind of have the same thing happening today. The affluence has diseased our society. I mean, nobody has to go out and work for their food. They don't eat the staples anymore. You know, the staples were foods that you could grow, or that grew in abundance, that were in season, where in the land where you live. You know, people don't eat like that anymore. They go in the supermarket, and they have all these pre-packaged, pre-processed, and God knows what's in them. Maybe God don't even know what's in them. Well, he knows what's in them, but anyway, then these are the foods of man. These are not the foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by them that know and believe the truth. You have to be very wise when it comes to what you're going to put in your mouth, because we're talking about disease here, and he's talking about healing. For I am Yahuwah that healeth thee. He says, hearken diligently to the voice of Yahuwah, thy God, and do that which is right in his sight. Give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. And he says, I will put none of the diseases on you that have been brought upon the Egyptians. All those diseases. And you know, the Egyptians were constantly, as they are today, really no different. That's why they got all the drug commercials. And then you got all the mouth of the beast they run every 4 years. And they go, well, free drugs for everybody. That's part of the stump when they have a guy running for president. You saw it in the last elections for the president. You know, Bohemian Grove, Skull and Bones candidate A said, we got a drug plan for you, free drugs for the elderly, free drugs for everybody, and free medical. And then, candidate B said the same thing. Of course, the reality is a little bit different. Yeah, but they want you hooked on their free drugs, you know. Well, I don't do drugs myself. Have no interest in doing drugs. Not interested in their health plans. Why? I have a health plan right here. If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, your God, Yahuwah, thy God, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon Rome, Egypt, Sodom, America, the world system, the people of the nations of this world, as opposed to the holy nation of his kingdom. For I am Yahuwah that healeth thee. And he heals us by his word. Yeah. You know, I'm middle-aged, and I don't have any of these diseases. I don't have any arthritis. You know, I've been injured a few times, but pretty much healed fairly well. I don't have fibromyalgia, and I don't have, you know, cataracts, and I don't need Viagra, and I don't need statins. I don't need any of that stuff, man, because I've taken serious his word, and I've used a little wisdom in supplementing to make sure that everything that's supposed to be in my food is getting into my body somehow, because it's, I can't, you know, things have changed, and you have to use a little wisdom because you can't eat the proper staples anymore and the proper vegetables. You can try, you know, I mean, I eat a lot of green leafy vegetables. I try to incorporate them into my diet every day. In other words, I eat a lot of spinach, and I eat it half raw or raw, you know, instead of lettuce. I'll put that nice dark green spinach on my sandwiches. I don't use that dead iceberg worthless, you know, stuff, you know, on my sandwiches. I'll use the real spinach, you know, the real green leafy stuff. I like the bitter herbs. I like the parsley and the cilantro and some of the other bitter herbs. They're great. Sometimes I use them instead of lettuce to dress my sandwiches. And I try to stay away from unclean things that are designated unclean. You won't find any bacon or pork in my house. I can't say I never or never will eat it, because it's happened on occasion that I've eaten it and didn't know it, or I was in a position where it would cause an offense. And I'm commanded to not question, you know, under certain circumstances when I go to the house, not to question the food, but to just eat for conscience sake, not to question. So I do. But that doesn't mean that I can now say, oh boy, now I can eat pork and shellfish and every unclean thing. But, oh no, see, because then I'm not being obedient to the commandments as the best I can, and then I can expect disease. I see a lot of Christians suffering from disease, and it really is traumatic to their lives and very expensive when we have this wonderful health plan. I'm not saying that nothing bad will happen to you, because we have other problems too. It's bad enough without disobedience. It can be treacherous enough without disobedience, because we have genetic mutations and breakdowns, because we're way, way far away from the perfect genes of Adam and Eve. And there are mutations that happen and have been happening ever since. And some people have genetic diseases, but most people just have bad habits that they like to blame. Oh, it's genetic. It happened to my parents, and now it's happening to me, and there's nothing. No, because your learned behavior is most likely what's causing it, because he has wonderfully and fearfully made us, and our bodies are wonderful healing machines if they have the proper material to heal themselves with or to prevent disease. But nonetheless, we still all have the mortality. That's why I say it's bad enough when you're obedient, because you're still going to, your body still is going toward mortality. It's still corrupting. So, you know, spare yourself a lot of suffering. I mean, I hope to, when I get 110 years old or however long I'm able to live, that I can just quietly die in my sleep one night, just go, well, yeah, I don't think I'm going to be here tomorrow, and lay down and close my eyes and just pass on. That's, I don't want all the suffering and losing my mind and stuff. And so there's a lot of wisdom to be learned. And someday I'm going to have to do a series just on diet alone from the scripture, plus adding what I've learned myself in the many years. And okay, where are we now? We're in chapter 15, and we're at verse 26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of Yahuwah thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, I will give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am Yahuwah that healeth thee. So the context goes way beyond, you know, that's why I question, it says diseases and healing. So it goes way beyond just being drowned in the Red Sea. He's talking about what they saw in the Egyptians. And they came to Elim, where 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. 70, so there's 70 palms. And I guess that would be a good name for that place, 70 palms. Yeah, I think I've heard of that place. They got a place down here called 70 Palms. I bet you that's where they got the idea. Okay, is that the end of this chapter? I'm thinking it is. Chapter 16. Yeah, we've got a few minutes. And they took their journey from Elim, or Elim, the pronunciations of some of these names. Oh, it says, that's interesting. But they call it Elim. And all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And actually it says it should be pronounced Sin, S-I-N. The wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. So what do we have here? The 15th day of the second month. This is the, let's say it rightly, the 15th day of the second moon, the second moont. And so that would be, we'd be looking at a full moon, because that's the 15th day of the moont, is always a full moon. That's how you know it's the 15th. And it's also the Sabbath. If you have a full moon in the evening, the Sabbath begins. Okay, the whole congregation of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Yes, it's like children, you know, whining to their daddy, to their leader. And the children of Israel said unto them, "Would to God that we had died by the hand of Yahuwah in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." You know, and I'll bet you there were a few people. You know the kind. Just always looking for trouble. Always looking for what's wrong. The murmurers. The complainers. And they start murmuring and complaining. And this spirit just spreads throughout the congregation. And I'm sure there were those that didn't want to take any part that are going, "What is wrong with these people? How could they forget all the great things and the wonders that have happened? And how rich we are. None of us have gone hungry or thirsty. But now a little bit of fasting, perhaps? A little bit of cotton mouth, perhaps? But nobody's dying of thirst. Nobody's dying of hunger. Those things are good for you. You know, it's good to feel hunger. You know? There are people that never feel hunger, and you could look at them and see who they are. There are people that's any hunger pang, and that's it. They have to eat right away. You know, hunger's a good thing. It's good to feel hungry. It's good to feel empty. And I'll tell you what, it makes your food taste a lot better. It's good to practice a regular pattern of fasting. It's good for your health, too. It's good to purge your body.